In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. We're continuing our journey in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 21. Now, this is a fascinating section of scriptures. You may be saying, laws, reading case laws, that sounds so boring. But this is actually a very thrilling part of the scriptures because you're going to see how God views justice, righteousness in practical ways. Now, many of these laws that were made are still enforced today, though different maybe penalties and consequences, but the understanding of what is right and what is wrong is being outlined here. And so I pray that you will remain these next few chapters because it is absolutely stunning to see these truths and to ask the question, where are we today? Our society has abandoned many of these principles, and as a result, we see chaos. The only solution is repentance and faith in Christ. But may you, brother and sister who are in the Lord, may you read through these passages and learn from Christ, our teacher, what it means to be just, what it means to be righteous. Certainly, you're saved through faith, but there's a life you must live. And how you live reflects your Savior. And if you're living in an unjust, unrighteous way, you are extinguishing the light of the gospel. So let's begin with verse 21, verse 1. Now, these are the judgments which you shall set before them. So God is speaking to Moses up on the mountain. Now, what does it mean by judgments? It's a general term that includes case law, that is unique decisions that are designed to guide future decisions. They are procedures to be followed, and there are going to be decisions that will be made, and you need this revelation to make a righteous, just decision. Nehemiah 9:13, you came down also on Mount Sinai, this is a review of what's going on, and spoke with them from heaven, and gave them just ordinances, true laws, good statutes, and number four, commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws, by the hand of Moses, your servant. So this is kind of a retelling of the history again. Now, the historical background. Historical documents such as the Law of Hammurabi, that's the king and founder of the original Babylonian Empire. He came before King Nebuchadnezzar. He essentially established the civil order that allowed Babylon to thrive as a nation. Akkadians, Assyrians, Hittites, etc. were secular in nature. And interesting, they had religious laws and they had rituals, but they were in separate books from the secular law. The Bible is so different. We have them integrated into one book. So let me repeat that. In the secular world, they had their religious text and they had their secular laws. Two separate books, never combined. But God gives us the Word of God, the Bible, and those two are in the book. The law of the land and the way we approach God in faith. Because for God, there is no distinction. To love God is to love His law. Now, what are the origins? And this is important to understand. We need to recognize that these laws are not from the mind and wit and wisdom of Moses and the people of Israel. This is from God. Deuteronomy 4:13, so He declared to you His covenant, which God commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments, and He wrote them on two tablets. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might observe them in the land which you cross over to possess. So we're going to be looking at these judgments and statutes. Deuteronomy 5:31, but as for you, Moses, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. Deuteronomy 6:1 says it again, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Do you see the connection? God's commandments for God's people to live in the land before a holy God. The laws uphold the idea of loving God and loving your neighbor. So even though we're going to be dealing with a lot of technical details on various situations and scenarios, at the end of the day, it's still how these laws point to loving God and loving your neighbor. Now, made in the image of God is foundational to all these laws. God made man, and man was made in God's image. And each man is accountable to God, and therefore it's a stewardship to take care of one another. We just can't go and kill someone. You know that intuitively. Because man was made in the image of God, he needs to be respected. Deuteronomy 32, 39. Now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. Genesis 9, 5. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for the image of God he made man. So do you see that capital punishment was instituted as far back as Noah? And when certain states stop doing capital punishment, the death sentence, they are going against God's wisdom and law. It's true. It's brutal. The death penalty is severe, but that is the only way to deal with sin in the nation when someone has really severely broken the law. What about the victims? What about their suffering? See, justice demands that the lawbreaker suffer the consequences, and that's what God is about to reveal. What is just, and how do we deal with sin, and what are the consequences that the government can bring upon and bear upon someone who's a lawbreaker? Now, the way you read this text is there's kind of a primary law topic, and then there's a secondary law topic. These are subordinate. They flow from the primary topic, and I will be pointing these out. So if you have your Bible, you might want to even mark them with kind of a P for primary or S for secondary. Now, the primary topics in the Hebrew are noted by the Hebrew word ki. It means if or when. And then the secondary are identified with the Hebrew word im, which means if. And we'll walk you through these as we take each law one by one. Now, let's begin with Exodus chapter 21, verses 2 through 11. And this is going to be dealing with Hebrew servants, specifically Israelites, who then are turned into slaves. And we're going to talk about this issue more thoroughly. The background. This is for an Israelite who, for economic reasons, very important, was purchased. That's right. They became someone else's property. But it was temporary. This type of slavery is not the chattel enslavement that Britain and America and the other nations were embracing. This is voluntary slavery. God forbids involuntary slavery, in other words, man-stealing, Exodus chapter 21, verse 16. So what's going on here? God has created a welfare system that those who fall and fail in society would have a net, and that net would be they would sell themselves into a family, and they would begin to work off their debts. This was a loving scenario. This was designed to help those who could not help themselves. And during this service, they would learn basic life skills. They would be working, learning to appreciate discipline, and they would get themselves back on their feet. Now, the question is, how long? And the answer comes in verse 2 through 6. Let's begin with this first one, the male servant. If, now this is a primary topic, if you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh year, he shall go out free and pay nothing. So this is a 6-year commitment with the seventh year going free. Now the next verses 3, 4, and 5 are the subordinate or secondary topics. They flow from this primary idea. They're additional case examples. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the doorpost, most likely the temple, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now, you got to remember, this is Hebrew culture, 1500 BC. All right, this is not modern days. So we have to give a little leeway into cultural norms and not be so quick to judge what's going on. Now, six you serve, seven you're free. This is linked to the 6 days of creation that God worked and the seventh day he rested. In other words, God was setting up that there would be no perpetual enslavement. Second, the individual was to leave debt free. Now, in law of Hammurabi, which is the secular law, they only had 3 years of service and they were set free in the fourth year. The seventh year, let's talk about the seventh year. Zoom in because there's more insights. They're not just being let go. Here's what it says. If your brother, a Hebrew man or Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year, you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. Now look at this. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your winepress. From what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. This implies that you have taken someone who was in trouble, you relieved their problem by them being employed by you, and this would help not only the individual, but the whole community. Now, has this changed for us today? Not at all. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, well, then he's not to eat either. In other words, don't give a handout to one who's capable of working but refuses to work. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. In other words, pretending to be working when in reality, no work is being accomplished. Now, such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. Leviticus 25:55, for the children of Israel are servants to me. They are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So let's not forget that Israel was purchased by God. God owns them. But he doesn't set them up to be his slaves. He sets them up to serve and he blesses them and he equips them and he gives them so many things. Now the judge literally means towards God. That's the actual Hebrew word, El Elohim. And the awl represents a needle. This was a mark of servitude. It is not certain if the location was the home or the tabernacle, but most likely a tabernacle. The law of Hammurabi says if the slave rejects his master, the slave's ear would be cut off. Why the ear? The ear emphasizes listening and obeying, but also servitude and service. Well, we're out of time, but I want us to understand as we work through this passage on slavery, it's going to get uncomfortable, but hang in there because God has incredible revelation on why he allowed this and its purpose for the people. Well, until we meet again, may you be salt and light to those around you.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.